All righty. I'm hearing from people on the text and Twitter that I need to go to the doctor now. Okay. So yeah. I just wanted to put that out there. I don't know if we can get somebody in here for me, but yeah. I'm convinced now. I put that on Twitter.
Some guy said you might get MRSA or something like that. Yeah, and it's resistant to any common antibiotic out there, bro. Super virus.
What's Will Chambers doing right now? Should we give him a call?
You gotta plot with that one. Oh, exactly. He might be into that liquor by now.
Oh, you think he... Will, we'd have fun doing this thing, right?
Did
he retire? Will's in good standing with us, right?
He's not. Yeah. I just don't know if he's sober right now. It's the afternoon.
I think he'd be okay.
Okay.
Right? I think Will's okay.
Man.
Yeah.
I just got that stomach feeling when you get worried, you know?
Oh, yeah. You've read all those comments.
Like, everything was fun, and then I read the comments, I'm like, crap.
Yeah. Reality.
This one person just said on the text, Gavin definitely needs to go to the doctor now, not after the show.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I did lance it last night. I was very, very careful with rubbing alcohol and a sterilized instrument. And I only went in deep enough to puncture it, to create the hole, to drain it and get some sort of relief. I feel like this is a fairly common thing, right?
People get like, it can be fairly common. You just need some antibiotics. That's what you really need, is somebody to look at it to make sure it's not something really weird. But you could be back in an hour and a half.
I could.
It's that type of vibe.
Yeah. Maybe I could bail and come back and finish up the show. Or maybe there's like an urgent care doctor out there that could just swing by 75 and fits you.
That's what I'm
talking about. Could have me text it to them. I mean, this is the frustrating thing. We have all this great technology. You know what it is. Why can't I just text it to somebody and say, hey, I don't want to leave work, but I feel like I need antibiotics. Could you like send that to CVS and then have a DoorDash driver send them over to me?
Man, like, Will just said, he goes, man, I'm stuck at work, or I would. And I just asked Blake, and Blake said, I said, hey, can you come and do some radio? Or he says, right now, ? I said, yeah. He says, yes. I'm like, okay, come on in.
You're making that call right now? I think Tim Collins is over there and Gavin Spittle is over there. I would like to go, though.
Hilarious.
So
if he said ETA is 320 if we can do this.
ETA is 320?
He said ETA is 320. I'm just trying to help the situation. If I'm messing up,
no,
here,
I got it. I'm in. I'm going.
Right. You going? All right. Well, I don't want our bosses come screaming down the hall and just start MFing me or something like that.
Well, like as I said, in the tease, might be a life and death situation. So it would be best if Spittle wasn't doing the hockey podcast right now. But there's Stars fans want their content, right? Yeah. So he's standing and delivering, and we wouldn't want to interrupt him on that.
Okay, is it okay if I say Blake to come on in? Is that all right?
I think so. Let's go ahead and make that call. It's all right for Blake to come in because I got to go because I have a medical, maybe a medical
emergency.
Who's going
to get yelled at first, you or me? Probably me for trying to get something done, right?
No, I think we're good.
You think so?
I mean,
it's chain of command.
Yeah. I mean, it is. Okay, so Tim Collins is putting a finger up and he is on the phone now. Can we get this green lit as we dive into? See, the thing is, I feel great. As this thing was going on, like other than the sinuses and me feeling like I'm coming down with a little bit of a cold, there are no signs of infection in my energy, right? Like I don't have a fever. So if I do have it, it's early.
Okay.
And I just got to get it snuffed out.
Okay, as long as it's not a fever. If it's a fever, then you need to go see someone in the body about it.
I mean, I think I might have a slight fever, but that's probably due to the cold, you know, so it's complicating my analysis. If it wasn't for the fever and the cold being on board, I think I'd just be, you know, with no problem through this. But man, I'm starting to have muscle pains in my lower back and stuff. So actually, that's one of the things that's, you know, making me feel like maybe it isn't the best.
My man said it's complicating his analysis.
It is. It is. I cannot get an honest read on whether I feel like this fever is from just a cold or maybe it's from the infection. Obviously, if I didn't have this cold right now and I had a fever, there's no way I'd be here right now.
Right, right.
Okay.
And then me doing radio, but if it's just Lucius, it'd be a good show.
Be outstanding. Yeah, you guys are crushing.
We do a music show. Yeah. You know, we just start talking, just playing like old songs, like a
and number show. Five on the list.
Yeah. Brought us to 1967. You liked this one.
Yeah.
You know,
so the topic is, what are the odds that you're about to go on another magic carpet ride here with your Texas Rangers?
Oh.
Or at least deep enough in the playoffs to make it very exciting. You know, and I consider that ALCS.
Yeah.
So I don't know if I'm going to be able to drill down and give you the precise odds, but I do see Bradford Doolittle, ESPN, giving us the updated probabilities. How much have the Rangers improved their outlook over the last couple of weeks? Mm-hmm. Right now, they're headed for 84.1 wins. Might get you in the wild card.
Did Bassick say we need like 86 or something like that?
86 to be sure.
Oh, okay.
You're making the playoffs 43% of the time now. It had dipped like down to 18% a couple of weeks ago before this heater. Yeah. And right now they are the champions only 2.1% of the time. I think that's low. You know, I think this is a situation where maybe the numbers aren't going to get you home because you need a human brain to separate what happened early, what has happened in the last 2 months, and what is likely to happen if you have DeGrom and Eovaldi once you get to the playoffs.
Yeah.
They say the lingering concern, though, is still the bullpen. Rangers offense remains confounding, but lately it's been so consistently productive it's fueled Texas resurgence. The rotation remains the standout unit, especially with the addition of Kelly, though. Newcomers Danny Coulomb and Phil Maton. I'm going to get that last name eventually.
You got Maton right. I think you did.
You can't help but look at the prospects it took to acquire Kelly and wonder how much that offer could have been tweaked for Griffin Jacks or Yoan Duran, who they did not get that the hammer bullpen piece. But I mean, this dude Coulomb has the best ERA in the American League. Mm-hmm. So I don't know
pitched
why
so far last night.
I don't know why he's not capable of going to the ninth inning, but I definitely
think
it's
the stuff. I think it's the stuff. I think it's the, if you remember, I asked my buddy who's a GM in the league about him, and he was kind of, I asked him if he thought he could be a closer, and he was like, I think a lot of it had to do with like the velocity. Let me see if I can pull that up. But
so you can be nails in the seventh or eighth inning, but you don't have nasty enough stuff to get hitters who are hitting in that final frame. I don't know. I always assumed it was psychological. Like some guys just don't have it between the ears to be able to, you know, digest that reality that the entire team is depending on
them.
See,
this is what my GM buddy said. I asked him about him, and I asked him, hey, do we get a decent reliever here? And he goes, yeah, a decent mid-tier reliever. And he says, average stuff, good deception, and execution. Hmm. So I think that's when we start to think about our closers. Maybe that's why that Hobie Milner's not closing. Because it's execution, it's deception, but it's not.
Yeah.
You know, I guess you got to make these guys swing and miss. That's the most important thing.
But. Well, and in a setup role 6-7-8, you can pick the part of the lineup you're going to put him out there for,
right?
And be like, wow, this is going to work out in his favor. In the ninth, you got to take whatever is on the way. And if it's, you know, horrible matchups for you, if you're the closer, there's really no dodging it. And then you give up a couple of tanks, and the next thing you know, you're on your own head, and you're on your way to, you know, having a bit of a confidence breakdown there. And then who knows if you're even going to be good for the 6th, 7th, 8th. So, you know, I trust the Rangers know what they're doing.
Yeah.
I mean, you kidding me? They got Maddox, they got Bochy, they got CY on this, and I'm sure they're coming to the right conclusion. But, you know, when you're looking at that bullpen and the different ways they could configure it to make this thing, you know, come together, that's I think where the curiosity has to go. And it will. If Garcia messes up, I think you got to try to say, hey, can he overcome the things we just talked about and put him in a ninth inning role if Garcia gives up another dong this week, blows a save.
Yeah.
The Mariners are 12th, just slightly ahead of the Rangers with a 3.5% chance of winning the World Series, a 70% chance of winning the playoffs, winning on average 87 games. So that's fair, even though they're only a game and a half ahead of the Rangers. You know, the Mariners have improved so much over the last couple of years compared to the team that, you know, nearly ended your season before you could go on that crazy World Series run. But it's been the emergence of Cal Raleigh and now the addition of Suarez that, along with Julio, makes this a team that could have, you know, an offensive breakout as good as anybody else in the big leagues. And then you got your Astros coming in at 9. With a win average of 89 in the playoffs, 88% of the time, and winning the World Series 6% of the time. I really struggle to see the Astros being that good. I think they kind of have the regular season figured out. They proved that last year. And then, you know, they just weren't that viable. And I don't know if enough has changed with Houston. So I actually think the Rangers have a better chance of the World Series than the Astros right now.
I kind of feel like you need to be worried about Seattle. That's the one. I you know, Seattle's only 3 games back, and Houston's just spewing oil right now. You know, I mean, that series that they had in Boston, I know they won last night, but they're, you know, they're 13 games up, but man, they could have just completely buried everybody, and they went on a bad run, and they've brought Seattle and Texas back into this thing.
Yeah.
So, you know, but I think Seattle, just watching them play, you know, and the trades that they made, the pitching they have, well, it's going to be, I could see Seattle being the team that Texas is going to have to battle for the top spot.
Yeah, absolutely. I think Seattle and Texas, I agree with Sandler when he says, I think these are the two best teams.
Yeah.
Okay, so Blake's coming in. He'll be here on the other side of the break, do a live men's tea here, and I'll be good to go. I'll probably be back before 5 o'clock. I can imagine. You know, we'll jump in the expressway and salute to Blake, who is on his way in. Wifey said, go to urgent care after work. You will need to have them lancet to get all the infection out, then give you antibiotics. My doctor can't give you antibiotics without an appointment. See, they're all in the hand us $200 before we even take a look at this business, right? Isn't there a better way to get these guys compensated than just taxing the working man? You know what I'm saying?
They haven't figured it out.
People are making business decisions on their health with the inflation and everything.
Yeah.
Like I said, 80s, 90s, early 2000s, dude, you could go to the doctor for $10, you know, and if there was nothing that wrong with you, they'd, you know, charge the insurance the most of it. You'd put your little copay in there and then you'd be done. And that's just a thing of the past.
Sometimes I got to get the penicillin from the Mexican bazaar. I definitely did back in the day.
That's the extra
when
the
pockets wasn't looking right.
Yeah,
pockets wasn't looking right. And yeah, I'm going to the Mexican bazaar to get those penicillins.
Man,
on Harry Hines.
What else do they have over there at that bazaar,
man? Stuff. Yeah, you got a lot.
How about a shape of the Yankees in right now, though? I think the amazing thing about the Rangers' run has been that the opposite has been true for the Yankees over the last 50 games. They're 18-28 in their last 26 since July 13th. That's the fifth worst record in the big leagues. They haven't won since the trade deadline. They were universally praised for the flurry of deals they made to fortify their bullpen. But last night, their fourth straight loss, and the guys that they brought in have failed them.
Yeah.
So this would be so rich, considering the deep history. And, you know, it was kind of a one-sided history up until 2010. But the Yankees owned you. They swept you three straight years in the 90s, and the playoffs couldn't even win a single game. They had a reign of terror across Major League Baseball, and they're everybody's rivalry. If you could have a role in getting the manager fired or in pushing them over the edge and out of the playoffs and, you know, into a place that they can't recover from, and they have had a ton of injuries, it would just make it that much sweeter.
They were, if you go back and look, on May 28th, they were 35-20. They'd beaten the Angels 1-0. And from that point on, it has been a steady decline for them. You know, long losing streaks. You know, like get a couple wins and then they have a 6-game losing streak, and then they get a couple wins and then they have a 5-game losing streak. You know, it's been a struggle with them since. But that's hard to believe. On May 28th, I mean, they were the darlings of baseball with all the power and the home runs and stuff that they were hitting.
Yeah.
But boy, I tell you, it's. It's been
the torpedo bats.
They've lost games. I mean, they've lost games to like Atlanta. They've lost games to the Marlins.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, but they also have lost games to Toronto as well and stuff like that. And the Phillies. They've had some games where they, you know, teams were probably a little bit better than them, and are playing a little bit better than them right now.
The Athletic described the scene last night in the visiting clubhouse of the Globe. Players dressed silently at their lockers. The few who spoke whispered to each other. No music played over the speakers. The ping pong table was unused. A pack of playing cards was unopened. Stacks of pamphlets advertising family fun and where to get the best Texas barbecue untouched. Magazines sat in the middle of empty tables. That sounds despondent. That sounds worse than anything the Rangers went through. And it's probably because of the media pressure, the pressure of being a Yankee, the failure there. It is like when the Cowboys lose. You know, that's the sort of emotional turmoil that playing for that organization will put you through. And, yeah, they acquired Jake Bird from the Rockies.
Yeah.
He gave up the dong to Josh Young, crushed it. He also blew up Friday, giving up 4 earned runs while getting just 1 out in a loss to the Marlins. He was brought in for the Rockies. He was one of those guys that the Rangers were interested in getting.
Yeah.
Okay, we got Josh Young coming up next here. It is the G-Bag Nation here on your home of the Rangers. 105.3 The Fan, the Rangers Player Show is coming up next to The Fan. All right, welcome back. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. It's time now for the Rangers Player Show with the guy that hit a walk-off last night. It was electric. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car truck wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win. The Frankels, the go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Also brought to you by Cars for Kids. Donate today, carsforkids.org. Here it is, the Rangers Player Show, brought to you by Globe Life. For over 125 years, Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. And joining us once again here on your home of the Rangers, it's third baseman Josh Jung here in the nation. And good afternoon, sir. How the heck are you?
I'm good. How are you guys doing?
We are doing wonderful. How did it feel last night? When you're rounding the bases, do you notice anything? Does it all go blank? I mean, what an electrifying moment to be part of.
Yeah, it kind of goes blank. As soon as I saw the ball leave the yard, it kind of all went blank, and felt like I floated around the bases.
But you had to know off the bat it was gone, right? I mean, that was a solid shot.
I knew it had a good shot. Okay. It felt good. It felt flush. Back spun pretty well. I knew it had a good chance.
Now, when you know you're going to extras and you see your spot in the order, what's going on through your mind there with the chance to get it done?
I mean, as a DH, just making sure I'm ready for that moment, making sure that I know I'm hitting, fourth in that inning, and knowing I'll probably get a chance, especially with Langford, and he's been hot, and you look at all the different variables there. He's super fast. They'd rather have me out there on the bases in the 11th if I get out in that situation, not being a burner. So there's a lot of different things going through. And when they had that mound visit, I figured that they were gonna walk him and try to pitch to me.
Yeah, Jess, I was going to ask you about that. Were you, like, in that count, were you sitting on a certain pitch? Or were you just, like, you were just locked into whatever Bird was going to throw you that time?
I can't give away my secrets like that.
I know. I'm sorry. I had to ask because that thing, you saw it all the way. I mean, it was a beautiful swing on it, though.
All I was trying to do is not do too much, because it's really easy to go up there and try and overswing and get yourself out of it. And honestly, I was just trying to hit a soft line drive right back up the middle.
So how protective do you have to be of your secrets? Do you share those with teammates? Do you just not talk outside of the clubhouse about it? And sorry about Brian. He's always trying to pry for inside info.
No, we talk about certain things in the clubhouse for sure. But you try to keep it within these walls because you don't want to get it back to your opponents and then them exploit you on your secrets.
Yeah. So quite a roller coaster yesterday. We started the show thinking there was a chance that you could go on the injured list, and then you hit the walk-off. How is your health doing right now, buddy?
I'm good. I've progressed every day in a good way, and every day we're going to keep building up, hopefully be able to play third by the weekend. So that's my big focus right now, is just continuing to get better every day, and I'm glad I was able to get in there yesterday and not go on the IL.
Yeah. Clutch.
Hey, Josh, your experience in it, maybe I'm making too much of this, but your experience through the playoff run in a World Series, and you guys are playing a lot of meaningful games right now with like 50 to go. Is it something somewhat similar, or is it just, man, it's a whole nother season. It's a whole nother thing. But do you ever draw from in big games and big moments like that with what you went through with a couple of years ago?
I think it's more of like a new season, new thing, but every game right now is important. You know, we put Seattle, we got the Yankees, the Phillies, we got the Blue Jays. I mean, all these guys are all playoff teams, and every single game matters right now. And that's how we got to look at it. And I think that's how we're attacking it too, is all these games matter. Even though it's August, right? Like, all of these games matter for the playoffs. Cause as we saw in 23, you can sneak in by a game. It's that close when it comes down. So I think, just especially as an offensive standpoint, going in there and trying to produce as many runs as we can, and hopefully last night, you know, coming back a couple times in that game and ultimately winning it, I think can carry over, and we got to look at each series as trying to win that series, and being able to take game one, especially from the Yankees, is huge. And then we got one of our dudes on the mound tonight in Evo, so you take it one game at a time. But definitely when you get into those moments and situations down the stretch here, every game's important. So hopefully we can do everything we can to come out on top.
It's Josh Young here with you on The Fan. What's going on with Evo? I thought you were supposed to get worse as you're getting older. And this guy is maybe having his best year ever.
I mean, I've seen him. This is, what, year three now with Evo. Just the dedication to the routine, the monotonous routine that he does every single day. He loves it. He enjoys it. Watching him just honestly get better. And as you said, could be the best year of his career so far. I mean, yeah, it's no secret. It's no doubt that him having this year is any part of just how he goes about his business every single day and always has that hunger to get better. And I mean, it's awesome. Even when he feels like he doesn't have his best stuff, it's like, dude, you're going out there and you're performing really well. And yeah, I mean, just watching it, it's been incredible.
Josh Young, you know, there's been stories this year about the vibe or the energy of the Rangers clubhouse. I know a former player commented on it. We won't bring up his name, but I mean, what you're describing there, it sounds like there's terrific leadership here, and whether it's Corey Seager or Marcus Semien or Eovaldi, maybe it's just a different flavor. It's a leadership by example instead of more rah-rah. How would you describe the Rangers clubhouse? I'm sorry, I'm babbling on here. What do you think?
I mean, it's definitely hard when you're struggling, and it felt like there for a couple of months everybody was struggling, so it's kind of hard then. But as things pick up and as people have success and they stand up and they lead the pack, and I'd say it's more of a lead by example type deal than when you have guys get hot and you can just follow along, and it gets the clubhouse going.
Hey,
when
Josh,
it feels like everyone's struggling, especially as an offense, I mean, that's, you know, that weighs on everybody, but as things pick up, as guys get going, it's that lead by example. It's like, come on, follow me. And things have picked up over the last, I guess, month and a half, and it's been great.
Hey, Josh, sorry about that. I was going to ask you, you know, and I was going to circle back about the pitching. When you're standing out there at third base, do you know immediately when your guy's going to have that, is going to have it that night? I mean, do you just know by watching how the pitch and how they're working and stuff, they're like, oh man, we got this one tonight. I know the games are super competitive and tough, but do you just get a feeling sometimes watching your guys pitch that they're really going to be on tonight?
I mean, we have one of, if not the best staff in the league, so I don't care if they have their best stuff or not. I know they're going to go out there and give everything they got, and I mean, they've done an unbelievable job all year.
Yeah.
Even when they feel like they don't have it, right? Like, they're still going out there, getting out of big situations, and even the guys we added, I mean, they've had some big spots so far and have delivered, so hopefully we can keep that going. But yeah, staying out there third watching these guys, it's been a lot of fun, especially them getting some ground balls out there and letting us make some plays. I mean, it's been a lot of fun playing behind this staff.
Josh Young here with you in the G-Bag Nation, home of the Rangers. Pregame tonight coming up 6:30. Do you like playing the Yanks? Did that mean anything extra to you last night? You know, number one brand in baseball and all that?
It's just another opponent. It's just another day. But I think in the scheme of things, where they're sitting in the wild card, where we're sitting, that was just a big win for the team in general.
Yeah, it was.
And being able to come back a couple times in the game was huge.
Well, thank you for shutting up their fan base, too.
Keeping us in it. I mean,
yeah,
going out there and shutting them down in the 10th with the runner on second.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The pitching staff jokes around and says there's a guy on second, no outs, and they don't score. It's a run. It should count as a run saved, and that was a huge run saved for us last night at the top of the 10th.
You know, speaking of that, when you look back on your career, was the play you made, was that against Baltimore, the double play that ended that game?
Yeah.
Is that your favorite play of your career?
It was late in the game.
But yeah. That's the one.
Chapman on the mound, I think in the 8th.
Yeah, I think that's the one I always remember.
That
like,
was a nice play, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. You move to your left, and it's kind of bouncing, and you just stabbed it, and it was like, holy crap, this team. Yeah, this team can really play, and the rest was history. You know what else I'd love to get your thoughts on is how remarkably confident everybody was early on in that playoff run. Like, you'd eliminated opponent, and I think it was Haim that said it's going to be even more fun when we win the World Series. And I think that was going into Houston. Looking back, how were you guys that confident at that point?
I mean, we sweep Tampa, go into Baltimore, take those first two, end up sweeping them. I mean, and confidence at an all-time high there. And it was something about that flight from Seattle to Tampa after losing the final game of the regular season, losing the division. and everything starting over back at zero. It kind of felt like opening day all over again, and we had just had some guys come back from injuries, and the full lineup was back together, which we didn't really have in that second half. And I don't know, we were just building on it. It was pass the baton mentality, and as an offense specifically, we were just building on each other and putting innings together. And I mean, it was a crazy run.
Things change quickly in baseball, no doubt about it. So, I mean, from that peak to struggles this year and your trip into the minor leagues that was kind of an extended stay, was that tough at all?
It wasn't ideal. I'll just say that.
Yeah. Okay. You figured something out, though, dude. You've been on fire since you came back. What happened there? What clicked? Or
just trying not to do too much. Specifically me, when I struggle, I try and take it into my hands and try to do too much, basically. And going back down there, working with my hitting coach, Cody Atkins, that we were growing every day in the cage.
Yeah.
And just not trying to do too much. Don't go into the box trying to hit a 5-run homer. You know, it's impossible. So just go up there and honestly hit a soft line drive right back up the middle, and whatever happens, happens after that.
Was it one of those things, Josh, too, where you're just so competitive that you talk about hitting the 5-run homer, but you're just so competitive. And when we watch you play every night and we see this guy out there, it means so much to. Was it hard because you've kind of felt like maybe I'm letting the guys down a little bit, and you know that was something that was bothering you along the way?
I mean, you have all the emotions when you're going through something like that.
Sure.
And that was probably the biggest, longest stretch that I had gone through. And yeah, I was trying to force the issue. And when you force the issue, things kind of go the opposite way.
Right.
So that's kind of what I was going through. But yeah, all the emotions, you're experiencing all of it because you do feel like you're letting the guys down. You know, you have expectations for yourself. You're not meeting those, and you try to force the issue. And sometimes you've got to release that and just worry about winning one pitch at a time.
I mean, the run you're on right now is just incredible. Starting pretty much July 1 or maybe even a little bit earlier than that. Yeah, a few games earlier than that, late June. So now that you're dialed in like this, is there another side of that to manage? Or do you just let it flow? You know, the excitement, the confidence of it.
The game ebbs and flows, for sure. It's a roller coaster, and it's just riding the wave you're on. When you're peaking, you try to ride it, and when you hit that valley, you try to get out of it as quick as possible. But yeah, right now it's managing it just like you would if you're going through it. It's not trying to do too much. Don't try to go out there and hit 4 homers. For one, that's not the guy I am. Two, just go out there and whatever the team needs, that's the bat you need to have in that moment. And success or failure, view each singular event kind of as it is and move on to the next one.
Well, you're the man, dude. Congrats on this bounce back. Tearing it up, having a good time out there. The walk-off last night was incredible. So continued success. Give him hell. We'll be pulling for you.
I appreciate you guys. Thank you.
There he goes. Josh Young here with you. World Series champion in the G-Bag Nation. Brought to you by Globe Life for over 125 years. Globe Life has helped protect families when they need it most. Globe Life, make tomorrow better. Yeah, in the month of July, dude hit 367.
Yeah.
You know, so, and then last night, a 2-for-4. And we talked about this in 2023. The Rangers really struggled when Josh Young was out. And
right.
He came back, and it set the lineup off.
I don't know, yesterday, and like I said, talking to the guy, when we walked in, it's like, oh, guess who we got to talk to today? And I'm like, yeah, the guy I'm the most critical of, and because of the availability or lack of. And I just... You're right. When he plays, you know, the team has a chance. I mean, he's one of your better players, but it seems like there's something that always kind of a setback, and you can kind of tell with the way he was talking about it. He didn't want to talk about that minor league stuff. You know, I mean, that was probably a real beatdown for him, probably a low point in his career. I mean, he's had some injuries he's had to deal with, but good for him last night, and, you know, basically shutting me up, you know, with a, you know, because I was thinking, like, if this guy's not available, maybe you have to move on. Maybe you have to think of different plans and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But you know, the guy is a World Series champ and young guy, and hopefully the injury stuff can get behind him where he can have a number of years that are just healthy, where he can play a lot of games and, and show the talent that he has.
Well, speaking of health, I'm going to get out of here, actually, and go to urgent care now, Brian. So I know Krusty's Corner is coming up next. Blake is going to jump in with you. What do you have planned next?
Yeah, you know what? Since Blake's showing up, I'm going to ask him a bunch of Cowboys questions. We'll see what he thinks about this football team. We'll do that.
Yeah, buddy, you're listening to the G-Bag Nation. Gavin Dawson had to run to go take care of that back. So it is just me and Brian brought us, but don't get worried. We've got you covered all the way until Gavin gets back or the show ends at 7 o'clock for Texas Rangers baseball.
Yeah.
Doing a little Krusty's Corner here. Shout out to the great folks at Reliant Air Conditioning for sponsoring this segment.
Yeah.
Brian, Krusty's Corner. I love to be, we've done versions of this on the weekends with me, you and Fred.
Right.
But now we get to do it during the G-Bag with all of your great G-Bag listeners. So what you got? What you got for us today?
Yeah, Brian? You know, it's interesting with the Rams practice, joint practice here in about 15 minutes. We can all kind of follow along on Twitter. And I'm sure that the great folks there, John Machota, Todd Archer, you know, Calvin Watkins, all those guys, Tommy Yarish, these are all really, really good follows that will be posting clips and stuff. And
Nick Harris.
Nick Harris does a really good job. Yeah, you mentioned Nick as well. But I was just curious of your thoughts. And I know you and I, and you mentioned Fred, when I was out there, we did like, you know, the weekend shows together and stuff like that. But as you look at it from this standpoint, if you look at this team from where you're at right now.
Yep.
And fortunately, I've been out there and seen. I'm curious of where you are.
Yeah, yeah.
With this football team, I'm curious where you are. Are there things that going into it, you were like, you know what, I'm not too sure about this group.
Yeah.
Is there things that have changed for you when it comes to this football team?
So Fred asked me where was my excitement level heading into the season before training camp even started.
Yeah.
I said a 6.3. for the team out of 10. Uh-huh. And then I said, if we're talking about just the defense, I'm around a 4. If we're talking about the offense, I'm around an 8 and kind of averages around 6.3 in my head. There was a lot of concerns about the secondary, and those concerns have not swelled. Those have not gone down for me when it comes to secondary. I know what Deron Bland is going to give you, and I feel fine about him. I don't think we're going to spend much time speaking about him. But other than that, when it comes to Kyer Elam, I think has stepped up.
Yeah.
But at the same time, from what I've been reading and kind of just reaching out and seeing what different people have had to say, Kyer Elam has done this before for Buffalo. Looked
sure.
good in the preseason, training camp, all the offseason stuff, summer. And then when it's time for game time, whether it's missing plays, just not tackling, not being in the right place. So do I feel a little bit better about Kyer Elam from when the trade happened? Yes. But that is not saying much. The bar was very low for Kyer Elam, so I'm very worried still about the cornerback position. And the depth chart comes out today. And you know me being a mean green, shout out to Kamon Hall, former North Texas kid. But if he's my starting nickel week one versus the Eagles, I'm taking the overs on all the Eagles receivers. I don't feel good about that. Now, maybe you can persuade me why, hey, this guy's going to be really good.
Sure.
But from what I've seen, outside looking in, not being at the practice, Kamon Hall starting at the cornerback position from when we had Jordan Lewis last year, who I'm sure everyone listening right now knows how good of a slot corner he was and got paid in Jacksonville because of it. I just don't know if Kamon Hall is going to be able to really be starting an NFL game. We saw what happened with Kalen Carson last year.
Sure.
A guy who drafted all of us, had high hopes, the seatbelt looked good in week one. Mm-hmm. Week two, barely play. Gets thrown into the ground by Derrick Henry, and we never hear about him again. Shoulder injury, of course. So the secondary is something that did not go down, and I was very worried about, and I'm still currently worried about.
So is the secondary being the number one, where were you in the running back situation?
Okay, the running backs, I will say, I have a little bit of a smile on my face now. I was very...
Is it just what you're seeing from clips, or is it... You're not letting a guy like me influence you on anything like that.
No. I think the clips have looked nice. I've really liked what I've seen from Jaden Blue.
Yeah.
I think he's hitting the hole well. He's exploding. We haven't had any juice in the backfield in a while. I was a big Rico Dowdle fan. The analytics showed how good of a running back he was the last 10 games. He's one of the 10 best running backs towards the back end of the season. I wanted the Cowboys to bring him back. They didn't think he was worth the money. You know, whatever. They get Javonte and Miles. I wasn't high on that.
Mm-hmm.
If you listen to Fan After Dark, Fred is super high on Javonte. Thinks he's going to be the lead back.
That's weed.
I'm more of a, let's see what Jaden Blue has. And then when the stuff comes about him being lazy, we know about the fumbling. I was like, I don't know, man. Is he ever even going to get a shot?
Yeah.
And from what I've seen with a little bit of injuries and just Schottenheimer giving him first team reps, I haven't heard anything negative about him from training camp. So it seems like, do I think he'll be the week one starter? No. But do I think he's going to get more opportunities than people are prepared for? I do think so. And that makes me happy. I feel a lot better about the running back room than I did 3 months ago. So yes, that is something that went up for me.
In Blake's thoughts, is there a chance that Pickens could be better than Lamb this season?
No. There's not a way that Pickens could be better than Lamb, just because, one, I don't think it'll happen numbers-wise, and two, I don't think the eye test will prove it either. I am so high on George Pickens, and I think they are one of, if not the best, wide receiver tandem in the league, and I think they're both going to eat. I think you're going to see a Tyreek Hill, Jalen Waddle type season, if barring Dak stays healthy. I am very much excited to see the opportunities that CeeDee Lamb now has with George Pickens on the other side and Jake Ferguson. So while CD and George and Ferguson might not have the counting numbers they were all saw from CeeDee Lamb a couple years ago and last year, I think when it comes to efficiency, when it comes to touchdowns, when it comes to just the overall offense, moving the ball up and down the field better, I am very excited to see what George Pickens can open up, because we saw this. Allen Hurns, Michael Gallup, Dez, they like having a downfield big body target that they can spread the ball down the field to. You've not had that.
Yeah.
Shout out Brandon Cooks, but he's as tall as Alec Medford. He's not stretching the field. We're like, hey, all of a sudden we have to play a different coverage. We've got to shade a different side of the field because Brandon Cooks is on there, and he's a great receiver. But having George Pickens as a different type receiver, I don't have the stat in front of me, but I'm pretty sure the most 20-yard catches in the last two seasons, CD and George Pickens are both top four in that. And just the threat of George running past you, now those little dig routes, those crossers, now those slants by Turpin,
he'll drive
by
you off CD the ball.
Are there. Yeah. And I also think on the other side, having George Pickens work with a guy like CD Lamb, I think, can we say that's the best receiver he's ever been in a room with?
Probably so, yeah. Well, if depending on what you think about Amari Cooper.
Love Amari, but I think CD at this point, from what George is working with, the route running from George, now it's kind of hard to tell in the clips, but it looks good. But I think
he's legitimate route running routes.
I think it's going to bear even more truth in the regular season. I think his route running is going to get even better. Yeah. It's iron sharpens iron with those guys, and I love the way the guys speak about each other. I think you need a little bit of banter. You need a little bit of an edge, and George Pickens is, I think CD already had a little bit of that edge, kind of that, you know, I'm the best in the game. You're not going to mess with me. And George is just going to bring it out of him even more. And if both of those guys are monsters, Jake Ferguson, Jaden Blue, those guys are going to be getting one-on-one coverage, having linebackers cover them. So I'm not really worried about the offense at all.
Are you worried about the head coach, primary play caller, using everybody like we would like him to use them? Like using the receivers, so using Turpin, using the backs, using the tight end.
Schottenheimer had his little press conference the other day, and CeeDee Lamb talked, I think, the day before, and they both kind of echoed the same thing about what have we been complaining about since I've been here, and even before
static offense,
no motion. Getting out on the edges. Like, this is 2025, hooks, 2024. Curls, we're just running hooks, curls, verticals, and teams. If me in the press box and the person I'm sitting next to and my mom who's watching the game know what play is coming.
Your mom knows ball.
If we know what play is coming, that is probably not a good thing when you're going against these elite defenses, the Vic Fangios of the world and D'Amico and all these, Sala. They know what's going on. So I know there was myself included that didn't like the Schottenheimer hire, but I think there are pros to it that we have no idea what kind of offense he's going to run. Mm. What there's going to be a lot of things the same way when you have a rookie quarterback and teams don't know how to game plan for them, then we see the sophomore
I think I have an idea. I think I know what they're going to do. I think they're going to be power gap run scheme.
Yeah.
I think they're going to try and do some elements of some outside run, some zone stuff. I think they're going to be a big waggle boot team. I think that's what they're going to try and do.
A little 12 personnel, or you think
12 personnel, 13 personnel. I think that's what they're going. I think you're going to see some crossing routes. You're going to see some bunch formations. You're going to see combination routes out of that. I like what I've seen so far. The thing that bothers me, not bothers, there is a ton of boot and waggle stuff on this offense. There is a run the ball, and then now it's run the boot or run the waggle, you know, with the block and, you know, get the blocker out in front. I just wonder how much that is that going to be like, it's going to be run heavy and then the play action off that?
Can I ask you a question? Who gets more snaps this upcoming season, Luke Schoonmaker or Jalen Tolbert?
Well, see, they'll tell you that Jalen Tolbert is probably the third right now. I think they're being nice to Jalen.
We're on the exact same page. I thought the exact same thing when I saw the depth chart.
But it's a competition with Mingo and Turpin. Turpin's getting a lot of burn there too.
And Turpin feels like a Schottenheimer guy. He's a smaller guy. I'm going to use him in motion. Right. I'm going to show you how you can make this guy versatile. We saw last year had one of the best slant routes we'd ever seen, and then he never runs another one under Mike McCarthy. So I think Turpin's going to be used. I think Mingo's going to be used. I find it hard to figure out where Tolbert finds himself in this puzzle.
I keep talking about Tolbert has got to find a way. Schottenheimer said it himself, when you have those quiet days, and there have been some quiet days.
And he can't afford them.
Yeah, yesterday he was outstanding. But is today going to be a quiet day? Is the next practice going to be a quiet day? That happens with him quite a bit.
Ooh. Okay, one more before we get out of here. Mozzie Smith, Jay Toya. Is that a real battle for with no, the one, or is no. Mozzie, is it Mozzie's job day one?
No, you know what? Mozzie walked off the field injured yesterday. I think you're going to see Jay Toya and others get opportunity there. Who's
another guy other than Jay Toya that could really be at that one tech?
Well, the kid they drafted from Maryland would be an opportunity. But I don't know. I think it's going to be one of these things where they're going to play with smaller guys. I just think that's what they're not going to play toe to toe. JT will probably be a big guy for you. We'll see. But I don't see them like they're maybe going to look for a bigger guy. But right now, I don't see them playing with a bigger guy.
September 4th, Cowboys, Eagles. Yeah. Cowboys fans, get ready for that. That offensive line is no joke. Well, that was Krusty's Corner, sponsored by Reliant Air Conditioning. Gavin sent me this. He's got 5 betting hot takes for the Dallas Cowboys. Will you be taking these takes? We'll discuss those next on the G-Bag Nation.